Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Where do stocks go following Monday's record finish? We'll talk with Jim Awad.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Markets may be struggling for some momentum following a record finish for U.S. stocks on Monday. The major averages were little changed in early action Tuesday. Where do the markets go from here now that the Trump post-election rally seems to be over? Joining us is Jim Awad, chairman of Plimsoll Mark Capital. Jim, do the markets seem to be in some sort of holding action? We've had the election and Trump's stunning victory, and we await the Fed policy meeting next week. How do you assess what's going on right now with the markets?
Well, it's been a pretty dramatic move in both the stock and the bond markets since the election. So you're entitled to some pause after that bigger percentage move in a short period of time. But we have to remember two things. First is that seasonally, December tends to be a good month. People think optimistically because money managers like to finish the year at their high in asset value because that's how they get paid, and it's a festive season. So you could have a pause here, but based on history, it should be a positive month. You're right that we're waiting for news from the various central banks around the world, but I think we know that the U.S. is going to raise and that the Europeans are probably on hold for now. But I think the big picture here is that the consensus seems to be among investors that we have gone from the central bank's stimulus of asset prices to a point where the central banks, certainly in the United States, will become less accommodative, but that the economy seems, the growth rate seems to have strengthened, and that is only going to accelerate next year as you get these series of Republican tax cuts, lack of regulation, some infrastructure projects. You know, the infrastructure will probably be a little bit less than the market assumes, but you're going to have a positive fiscal stimulus to the economy, and the feeling seems to be that that's going to reaccelerate earnings. And that the next phase of the markets will be earnings-driven rather than central bank-driven. So the consensus for the moment is that with interruptions, the political dynamic has reduced the chances of a recession, increased the chances of economic acceleration, growth in profits, and a positive year in stocks for next year.
Okay, so is your take that investors are expressing confidence in Donald Trump, who's a pro-business president, and also along with that, the fact that, you know, it is a Republican Congress? Or do you think, they're cautious and waiting to see what he does after he's inaugurated?
Yeah, no, by the action of stock prices since the election, they have said that the economic program is one that is going to be favorable to the economy and investors. And I don't think the risk in Trump is on the economic and policy side. The risk to Trump is in foreign policy, which is a whole other issue, and that's sort of a black swan that's very tough to invest in. But if he doesn't make any big mistakes in foreign policy, what he's going to do on economic policy is undeniably positive for the capital sector, and has the chance of ratcheting up the secular growth rate from the 2% that we've been stuck in to something closer to 3%. The idea of less regulation and lower taxes, I think, will give businesses confidence to invest, to spend, to hire, and that will flow through to consumers. So I think the idea here is that you've ratcheted up the secular, or in the process of ratcheting up the secular growth rate in the economy, which should be bullish for stocks over the next couple of years.
How worried are investors about Trump's views on trade? You know, they tend to be on the protectionist side. And also his natural tendencies to make deals like the one at Carrier in Indiana.
Yeah. Well, I think that the Republicans in Congress are very skeptical of the tariff idea and of protectionism. And I assume that he's getting some very good and strong advice from them. And, of course, Wilbur Ross, who's his cabinet member and somebody I've known for many years, is a pragmatist center-right, not extreme-right. So the advice he's going to be getting does not speak to his fulfilling his rhetoric on the campaign trail about being an economic warrior in terms of trade. But I do expect him to try to renegotiate some of the trade deals to benefit the United States. On the carrier situation, I think most people think that was more theater and playing to his base. And the U.S. economy is much too big for a president to negotiate with more than just a few companies to make his political point. So I think that was probably a one-off or a minor one-off. If Mr. Trump can just control his Twitter account and listen to the very good advisors he seems to be assembling around him, we should be in okay shape. But make no mistake about it, Twitter is a risk.
It seems to be that way. We're talking about stocks and the economy with Jim Awad. You're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
When you own a business, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites with one single click and have the highest chance of finding that perfect candidate. Plus, you can instantly be matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Find out why over 1 million have used ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We're talking with Jim Awad of Plimsoll Mark Capital. How do you see the markets about 3 to 6 months out? Do you care to predict that far ahead, or is that just too far?
Well, I think we can talk directionally. You know, the positives are the reacceleration in the economy, the ratcheted up of the secular growth rate under what the Republicans are going to do economically. The negatives are that financial conditions are going to tighten some. You've already had a significant rise in bond yields, which at this level won't damage the economy, but if bond yields keep going up, it will become a restraining factor on economic activity, on mortgages, on car purchases, because those rates will go up, and we know the Fed wants to normalize. So that's going to be a headwind. And the other headwind is valuation, that you're at 17 times estimates for forward earnings. So any increase here has to come from the earnings side, not from the valuation side. So I would say if it's 6 months from now, if we're 5, 6, 7% higher, combined with the increase that you've had since the election, that's about all that we're entitled to.
Do you see any limits to what the Federal Reserve can do as far as interest rates? I know we've talked about normalization a lot, but isn't there only so much they can do as far as tightening credit without seeing interest rates go too high?
Yeah, they have issues they understand that the yield curve is steepening, that investors are pricing in more inflation, that a 2.4% 10-year Treasury is not going to restrain economic activity, 3% or above would. On the other hand, they need to retain their credibility, and they've got to reflect the fact that economic activity and inflation are picking up. So they do have to raise rates in December and a couple of times again next year. Now, a restraining factor is that economic activity around the rest of the world is not that strong. So I don't see us going into an inflation cycle and a dramatic interest rate cycle. But I wouldn't be surprised over the course of the next year to see short-term rates go up another 50-70 basis points. I hope 10-year Treasury rates don't go above 3%, because that's sort of the barrier where you affect the economy and stock valuations.
So at this point, you see the economy in the U.S. holding on to its growth
not rate? Not only holding on to it, but accelerating somewhat from the 2% level that we've been experiencing to moving gradually up towards 3%. And then we'll have to pause middle of next year, see what Congress has done, what it hasn't done, and see how it's reflected in economic activity. And then we'll take a look at the second half of 2017 as we work our way through the first part. But as we speak, as we're speaking, factory orders came out, and they're the biggest gain in nearly 1.5 years, and all the signs are to economic growth and a growth in profits.
You've talked about the economy slowing down in Europe. What's your feeling about the populist movements going on, not just in the U.S., but, you know, in Britain, France, and Germany?
Right. Well, Europe is a risk. And so far, the markets are saying that the strength in the U.S. is what we care about, that the U.S. is going to be the beacon for investors around the world, and that it's all not going to affect us. But make no mistake about it, the populist movements in Europe threaten the post-World War II order, threaten the euro, and threaten the economic integration in Europe. The question is, how is that going to affect us if everything that's going on here is positive? You know, it'll affect exports, it'll affect multinationals, but with the U.S. being the largest economy in the world, if we're accelerating, it makes up for a lot of weakness overseas.
Jim Awad, chairman of Plimsoll Mark Capital, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Always my pleasure.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.